Hello and welcome to another edition of Yellow Star China News. Today is Saturday, January 12th, 2019. The first article for today comes from Bloomberg entitled Justin Trudeau says China is ignoring diplomatic immunity for detainee. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is stepping up his pressure on China in a standoff over detainees, saying the country isn't respecting the principles of diplomatic immunity in one case. China seized a pair of Canadians, Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor, on December 10th in the aftermath of Canada's arrest of a Huawei Technologies co-executive, Meng Wanzhou. Trudeau's comments are an apparent reference to Kovrig, who was on leave from his position with the Canadian Foreign Service and had been working for the International Crisis Group. Trudeau, speaking Friday during a press conference in Regina, reiterated that Canada was operating under the rule of law in the Meng case, including granting her bail to allow her to be in her own home. He encouraged China to do the same. "This is the way we live up to our rules within our justice system," Trudeau said. "It is unfortunate that China has arbitrarily and unfairly detained two Canadian citizens and indeed in one of the cases is not respecting the principles of diplomatic immunity." China's foreign ministry has said the Canadians are suspected of activities endangering national security, which allows authorities to hold them for as long as 6 months without charge or access to a lawyer. International Crisis Group said there was nothing secretive about Kovrig's work, which involved writing public reports designed to prevent conflict. Last month, Trudeau's government stopped short of asserting diplomatic rights for Kovrig. "The fact that Mr. Kovrig is an employee of my department means a lot of us know him, and that adds another layer to the concern," Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland said on December 12th during a press conference in Ottawa, but she didn't say at that time he was entitled to diplomatic immunity. Trudeau's comments Friday came after China's envoy in Ottawa accused Canada of white supremacy in the case, though Meng has been freed on bail while Spavor and Kovrig are still being held. Canada has been rallying other countries to pressure China, though some, particularly the U.S., have been more outspoken than others. The U.S. has said China should release the Canadians. Canada arrested Meng after a request from the U.S., with which it has an extradition treaty. The second article for today comes from The Guardian, entitled Poland Arrests Huawei Worker on Allegations of Spying for China. Poland has arrested a Chinese employee of Huawei and a Polish national involved in cyber business on allegations of spying. Polish state media has reported, deepening the controversy over Western criticism of the Chinese telecoms company. However, a spokesman for the Polish security services told Reuters the allegations related to individual actions and were not linked directly to Huawei. U.S. intelligence agencies claim Huawei Technologies Co. Ltd. is linked to China's government and its equipment could contain back doors for use by government spies. No evidence has been produced publicly, and the company has repeatedly denied the allegations, but the criticism has led several Western countries and businesses to consider whether they should allow Huawei's equipment to be used in their telecoms networks. This is strained relations with Beijing. The Polish public television channel TVP said security service had searched the local offices of Huawei, as well as those of the telecoms community Orange Polska, where it said the Polish national works. China's foreign ministry said it was greatly concerned by the reports and urged Poland to handle the case justly. Huawei said, "We are aware of the situation and we are looking into it. Huawei complies with all applicable laws and regulations in the countries where it operates, and we require every employee to abide by the laws and regulations in the countries where they are based." Orange Polska said the security agency had on Tuesday gathered materials related to an employee, whom it did not identify. The company added that it did not know if the investigation was linked to the employee's professional work, and it would continue to cooperate with authorities. TVP said the security services also searched the premises of the Office of Electronic Communications, but the Polish telecoms regulator denied this. In December, Canadian authorities arrested a Huawei executive, Meng Wanzhou, at the behest of U.S. authorities as part of an investigation into alleged violations of trade sanctions, raising tensions with China at a time when Washington and Beijing are engaged in a broad trade war. The West's security concerns about Huawei and the Chinese telecoms equipment company ZTE Corp. center on China's national intelligence law. Approved in 2017, the law states that Chinese organizations and citizens shall, in accordance with the law, support, cooperate with, and collaborate in national intelligent work. This has raised concerns that Huawei could be asked by the Chinese government to incorporate backdoors into their equipment, which would allow Beijing access for spying or sabotage purposes. Some experts also fear Chinese intelligence agencies may develop a way to subvert Huawei's equipment. Norway said on Wednesday that it was considering whether to join other Western nations in excluding Huawei from building part of the country's 5G telecoms network. Maciej Wasik, the deputy head of Poland's special services, told the state news agency PAP, "The Chinese national is a businessman working in a major electronics company. The Pole is a person known in circles associated with cyber business." The arrested pair will be held for 3 months, PAP reported, citing the spokesperson for Poland's head of special services. TVP said the Polish national was a former agent of the Internal Security Agency. The agency did not immediately respond to Reuters' requests for comment. The third article comes from CNBC entitled, "Starbucks will be the next U.S. brand to warn of China trouble after Apple," Goldman Sachs says. Apple shares collapsed early this month after warning that iPhone sales would fall short because of weakness in the China economy. Starbucks will be next, according to Goldman Sachs. The firm downgraded the world's largest coffee seller to neutral from buy on Friday, citing a number of points of caution on China. The recent AAPL Apple announcement, while potentially also product-driven, cited trade concerns, macro, and MCD McDonald's acknowledged other softer trends in the region at a late November event. Analyst Karen Holthouse wrote in a note to clients, "The GS macro team also expect a continued slowdown in GDP, at least partially driven by consumption." Goldman also lowered its price target on Starbucks to $68 from $75. The shares fell 0.8% in trading Friday to $63.73 following the Goldman call. Starbucks has 3,600 stores in China and wants to double that number in the next 4 years. China will cut its GDP growth target from 2019 to 6% from 6.5% at a government meeting in March, policy sources told Reuters. The government is expected to take more monetary and fiscal measures to boost the economy this year amid weakening domestic demand and an ongoing trade battle with the U.S. Trade talks between the two countries appear to be progressing well, but investors are striking a cautious tone until a formal agreement is announced by the March 2nd deadline. It's unclear what the effect of the trade battle has had directly on U.S. brands selling in the country, but many Wall Street analysts believe Apple is facing an informal boycott of its products by some Chinese consumers. Goldman noted that Starbucks has doubled the return of the S&P 500 since the firm added the stock to its buy list in late 2014. So now is a good time to take some profits. Starbucks reports earnings on January 24th. Goldman also downgraded shares of Yum Brands to sell on Friday, citing valuation and concerns about U.S. sales momentum at Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. The firm lowered its price target on Yum to $76 from $83. The stock fell 2.2% in pre-market trading Friday to $89.75. The fourth article for today also comes from CNBC entitled, "Retailers are slashing iPhone prices across China as consumers say the phones aren't worth the cost." Apple's latest iPhone models are facing huge discounts in China as retailers try to sell the struggling devices. That comes as the top-of-the-line Apple smartphones have posted poor China sales on what experts say are too high prices for the world's largest smartphone market, and the lack of innovative features compared to local competitors like Huawei. The technology giant itself acknowledged earlier this month that unexpectedly low prices in the Chinese market would likely lead to worse than anticipated first quarter revenues. One of the most recent iPhone cost cuts in the country came from Suning, a large Chinese retailer, which changed the price of the 128GB version of the iPhone XR from 6,999 yuan, $1,036, to 5,799 yuan, $858, a 1,200 yuan, $178 discount. Other third-party sellers on the site had the devices for even cheaper, offering flash sales to try to unload iPhones. One seller had a 256GB version of the iPhone XS Max, Apple's most premium device, for 9,699 yuan, or $1,436, way below the US firm's official selling price of 10,999 yuan, or $1,628, for that smartphone. Still, that remains more expensive than in the US, where the same phone would sell for $1,249, according to the Apple website. And that's just on one site. Other retailers in China are also putting their iPhones on sale. S-Union, an Apple reseller with advertisement, 700 yuan off for both the 128GB and 256GB versions of the iPhone XR. E-commerce site Pinduoduo, which allows third parties to sell products, also had hefty discounts across all of the latest iPhone models. Apple's issues in China are down to two major factors, experts and local consumers say. It got its pricing wrong, and it has failed to introduce features to excite consumers in a forward-thinking technology market. Now, analysts said, competitors have taken market share in the premium smartphone space. In a public letter released on January 2nd, Apple CEO Tim Cook blamed the slowing Chinese economy and rising trade tensions with the US as one of the key reasons for lowering first quarter sales guidance. Experts, however, told CNBC that much of the iPhone's China problem comes down to the company setting the wrong prices. For example, Apple's 512GB iPhone XS Max, the most expensive of the two models, costs $1,499 in the US, but in Asia's largest economy, the undiscounted price is 12,799 yuan, or nearly $1,900, a more than 26% premium. Other variations of the latest iPhone models have similar price premiums in China. Of note, the XR was meant to be the cheapest of the new models, but it has proven to be too pricey for many Chinese consumers, who were asked to pay a 28% premium compared to American buyers. The trade war is background noise and more of the scapegoat excuse, with the real issues being iPhone XR demand and a mispriced product in a competitive Chinese market. Daniel Ives, Managing Director of Equity Research in Wedbush Securities, told CNBC by email, "It's time for Cook and Apple to look in the mirror, take their medicine around pricing and execution, and move forward with the biggest installed base in the world to turn the ship around from this dark chapter in Cupertino." He added, "Apple has given no indication about whether it will cut prices in its official stores in China. The company did not immediately reply to a CNBC request for comment sent on Friday. Across China, Apple is offering a deal where it will sell the iPhone XR for 4,399 yuan, $651, if a customer trades in an iPhone 7 Plus, a two-year-old handset. That's a bit to get users to upgrade, but not all iPhone owners in China are keen on purchasing a newer device." Karen Xiao, an iPhone 7 user living in Guangzhou, said the prices of the new iPhones are too high and her current model still works fine. "For me, the function is good enough. For me, using the internet and just phones, I don't play games. So the function can satisfy my needs," Xiao told CNBC, adding that newer models don't offer major differences that appeal to her. Despite the negative international headlines that have hit Huawei over the past few months, its consumer business continues to thrive. The Chinese technology giant replaced Apple as the second largest smartphone player by global market share last year. It's firmly the biggest vendor in China. China's consumers say they've been attracted to Huawei's newest features, the price points, and the fact that it's a domestic brand. Using Huawei's mobile phones is supporting domestic brands. "We hope our brands can go international," Vikia, Guangzhou-based Huawei user, told CNBC. She added that Huawei phones are cost-effective and have good features, while iPhones are more of a trend. One of the key features that Huawei introduced was a triple-lens camera on its P20 Pro, which was launched last year. For the next 12 months, the iPhone lacks one of the most appealing features of current winners in the Chinese smartphone market, the triple-lens camera. The Huawei P20 Pro led the march, and other Chinese manufacturers are all scrambling to follow suit as it has been so popular. Neil Klampling, head of technology, media, and telecommunications research at Mirabaud Securities, told CNBC by email. Chinese smartphone users are already thinking about the future of their devices. While major manufacturers like Huawei and Samsung are releasing foldable phones and quad-camera handsets, devices that support 5G, the next generation of mobile connectivity, could be the next big feature consumers are looking for. The tech promises super-fast internet speeds, and Samsung and Huawei both plan to release smartphones next year that will be compatible with it. Major telecommunications providers in China, including China Mobile and China Telecom, plan to begin rolling out 5G in 2019. Apple, however, is unlikely to release a 5G-capable phone until 2020, at the earliest, according to a report from Bloomberg in December. For Galen Zhang, a Guangzhou-based iPhone XS Max user, that could be a deal-breaker. He said he's used iPhones for several years, but would consider switching to Huawei if Apple didn't bring out a 5G version soon. Currently, China is updating internet to 5G, so I probably would buy a 5G phone since I need fast speed. I know currently Apple said that they didn't want to upgrade to 5G phones yet, so you will buy Huawei instead if they come first with the 5G phone, because I know they will have a new one, Zhang told CNBC. That might spell more trouble for Apple in the next couple years, as it looks to steady the ship in China amid increasing pressure from the local competitors. Apple will also be left behind on the 5G tech integration curve, as Chinese brands will be at least a couple of years ahead, Neil Shah, a research director at Counterpoint Research, told CNBC. The final article for today comes from Forbes, entitled China is set to become the world's renewable energy superpower, according to new report. The continuing growth in renewable energy around the world is set to boost the power of China, while undermining the influence of major oil exporters such as Russia and Middle East states like Saudi Arabia. According to a new report on the geopolitical implications of the changing energy landscape, with a leading position in renewable energy output, as well as in related technologies such as electric vehicles, Beijing now finds itself in an influential position, which other countries may struggle to counter. No country has put itself in a better position to become the world's renewable energy superpower than China, says the report, which was issued by the Global Commission on the Geopolitics of Energy Transformation, a group chaired by a former president of Iceland, Ólafur Grímsson. The commission was set up by the International Renewable Energy Agency, IRENA, last year, and its findings were published on January 11th in Abu Dhabi at IRENA's annual assembly. The report argues that the geopolitical and socioeconomic consequences of the rapid growth of renewable energy could be as profound as those which accompanied the shift from biomass to fossil fuels two centuries ago. The changes are likely to include the emergence of new energy leaders around the world, changing patterns of trade, and the development of new alliances. It could also spark instability in some countries which have grown dependent on oil and gas revenues. One of the key factors driving these changes is that, unlike traditional fossil fuels, renewable energy sources are widely available around the world, whether it is solar or wind power, tidal energy, or hydroelectric plants. Most countries have the potential to develop some clean energy themselves. This means that many countries which currently have to import most of their energy will in the future be able to generate their own power, helping to improve their trade balance and reducing their vulnerability to volatile prices. While the changes promise to democratize the provision of energy, not all countries will fare equally well in the new landscape. The report points out that China has taken a lead in renewable energy and is now the world's largest producer, exporter, and installer of solar panels, wind turbines, batteries, and electric vehicles. China also has a clear lead in terms of the underlying technology, with well over 150,000 renewable energy patents as of 2016, 29% of the global total. The next closest country is the US, which had a little over 100,000 patents, with Japan and the EU having closer to 75,000 patents each. While not all patents are useful or valuable, these figures give an indication of how much investment different countries have been putting into the industry. By contrast, major oil exporters such as Russia, Indonesia, and Saudi Arabia had negligible numbers of renewable energy patents. The renewables revolution enhances the global leadership of China, reduces the influence of fossil fuel exporters, and brings energy independence to countries around the world, said Grimson, speaking at the launch of the report. The transformation of energy brings big power shifts. Beyond China, there are a few other groups of countries which stand to gain from the trends now underway. They include countries with high potential for renewable energy generation, such as Australia and Chile, which could become significant exporters of renewable electricity. Mineral-rich countries such as Bolivia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Mongolia could also tap into rising global demand for their raw materials. There are great dangers for other countries, though. In particular, there is the potential of political instability in oil-exporting countries which find their revenues drying up, and some countries blessed with large reserves of newly popular resources used by the renewable energy industry may also be at risk of a new wave of the resource curse. The Global Commission's report notes that the states of the Middle East and North Africa, together with Russia and other countries in the Commonwealth of Independent States, are most exposed to a reduction in fossil fuel revenues. On average, these regions have net fossil fuel exports of more than a quarter of their GDP. Declining export revenues will adversely affect their economic growth prospects and national budgets, the report says. To prevent economic disruption, they will need to adapt their economies and reduce their dependence on fossil fuels. Many of these governments are well aware of the risks they face and have been making significant investments into renewable energy in recent years. For example, the UAE has developed vast solar energy parks, and Saudi Arabia recently unveiled plans to develop 59 GW of renewable energy by 2030. However, while these will provide a useful source of energy in the future, they won't do anything to replace the loss of income if oil and gas demand slumps around the world. Despite launching many economic diversification programs, governments in the Gulf in particular have yet to find a way to break their dependency on oil revenues. However, the Gulf states are at least have the benefit of large savings, which they can use to try and remodel their economies, or at least soften the blow as oil and gas demand declines. Other oil-exporting countries are more vulnerable to instability, particularly those which are already unstable or have weak political systems, such as the Republic of Congo, Iraq, Libya, South Sudan, Venezuela, and Yemen. On a more positive note, most countries in sub-Saharan Africa ought to benefit from lower energy costs if they can develop domestic renewable energy to replace their existing fossil fuel imports. The same is true for countries in South Asia and other energy importers such as European countries, China, and Japan. Stressing a more optimistic view, Adnan Amin, Director General of IRENA, said at the launch of the report that the global energy transformation driven by renewables can reduce energy-related geopolitical tensions as we know them and will foster greater cooperation between states. This transformation can also mitigate social, economic, and environmental challenges that are often among the root causes of geopolitical instability and conflict. However, he acknowledged that the changes now underway present both opportunities and challenges, and said the benefits will outweigh the challenges, but only if the right policies and strategies are in place. It is imperative for leaders and policymakers to anticipate these changes and be able to manage and navigate the new geopolitical environment. That is all of the articles for today. I think what's most interesting to me is where Huawei is being seen within all these articles. On the one hand, it seems that Huawei is doing a very good job in China in terms of becoming a challenge to outside companies such as Apple. It seems that the Chinese people are beginning to realize that their own companies are doing a pretty good job of making products, especially since these companies are actually located in China. They can see what the Chinese people want. And we're living in China where mobile phone gaming is a really big thing. Lots of people don't have their own home computer like in Europe or in America. So the phone market is probably more important in China than it is in Europe and America. But on the other hand, Huawei is being seen as an enemy. That's now two countries that have had people arrested, taken into custody because of their connections to the Chinese government. So this company is becoming more and more important in terms of its role in shaping China's geopolitical standing, and definitely keep a close eye on them in the next couple of years. Will they be able to continue to be a challenger to Apple? And will they soon be able to overcome the problems that they are having in other countries? Because if they want to become like Samsung, who are seen as a great company outside of Asia, they're going to have to deal with this issue of being connected to the Chinese government. And will they want it? What will they be able to speak out against the things that's happening? And sometimes I've heard that people are in a difficult position when they are asked to spy for the government or work for the government while they are in other countries. Some people think that's what happens, is that these people don't really willingly want to. They're kind of coerced into it. I'm not sure. But if it's true, perhaps as this company does better and better, maybe we will find out the answer to that question. maybe they will push back and say that their own revenue, their own standing abroad is more important than whatever the Chinese government wants for them. We'll have to see. So thank you for listening, and be sure to like my Facebook page, Yellow Star China News, and come back next time for some more articles. See you then. Bye.